The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, by grace alone you call us and accept us in your service. Strengthen us by your Spirit and make us worthy of your call through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Jesus loves to live.
The first reading is from Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, that great city, and proclaim it to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah set out and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, a 3 days' walk across. Jonah began to go into the city, going a day's walk. And he cried out, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast, and everyone, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw what they did, how they turned from their evil ways, God changed his mind about the calamity that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's pray the Psalm 62 responsively. For God alone I wait in silence. Truly, my hope is in God.
God alone is my rock, my salvation, my stronghold, so that I shall never be shaken.
In God is my deliverance and my honor. God is my strong rock and my refuge.
Put your trust in God always, O people. Pour out your hearts before the one who is our refuge.
Those of high degree are but a fleeting breath. Those of low estate cannot be trusted. Placed on the scales together, they weigh even less than a breath.
Put no trust in extortion, in robbery, take and pride. The wealth increased, set not your heart upon it.
God has spoken once, twice have I heard it, that power belongs to God. And to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the appointed time has grown short. From now on, let even those who have wives be as though they had none, and those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing, and those who buy as though they had no possessions, and those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. For the present form of this world is passing away. The word of the Lord.
Shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, excuse me, I'm reading the wrong, I turned the page. the Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Does anybody know what time it is? Put your hand up if you know what time it is, or could easily find out. You know, there's something about humans that we like to know what time it is. We wear watches, we check our cell phone, we hang up clocks, we set timers, we have alarm clocks. We like to know what time it is. Today's scripture readings reminded me of an alarm clock for two reasons. Alarm clocks tell you what time it is, and an alarm clock demands some type of response. Either you reach over and hit the snooze and ignore it for a few more minutes, or you get up. But the alarm clock not only tells you what time it is, but it demands a response. I think that's what today's scripture does. Jesus says, it's time to repent. Jonah said it. Paul said it. Time to repent. Reform your lives. Believe in the gospel. That's what time it is. It's time to do something. Jonah preached to the Ninevites that time was running out. Don't waste the time. You better do something. And they responded immediately and began a life of repentance. And St. Paul tells us the same thing. Time is running out. Jesus declares that the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what time it is. It's God's time. The early Greeks had two words for time. Chronos, where we get the word chronological or chronicle, chronos meaning linear kind of time, normal time. But Jesus and Paul were not talking about that chronological kind of time. They were talking about kairos, about God's time, time in an extraordinary way. Paul was talking about that it's critical time right now to change your life, to have a very different manner of living, and that talking about the fact that the new age had come. It's God's time, and God's time is now. Jesus also was preaching about that kairos, not a timer that tells you when the cookies are done, linear time, but God's time. God's time. Like the prophets before him, he calls for repentance or a change of heart. No, repentance isn't simply feeling sorry for our sins. It means to change your mind, to change your attitude toward life. It means to change your way of living. To repent means to turn away from the world and turn toward God. It's a change. We don't like change, especially radical change. Change upsets our balance. It can be frightening. You go to the doctor, and if the doctor tells you, if you don't change your lifestyle, you're going to die, that's frightening. Sometimes, though, it does take a dramatic event, like the doctor telling us that we must change, to motivate us to change the direction of our life. Our gospel today describes an abrupt change for four fishermen. These two sets of brothers are invited to leave their work, their families, their security, everything that they know, and follow Jesus. To turn totally around and be radically changed. Jesus' call had an immediate effect on these four. The gospel writer, Mark, loves that word immediately. He uses it over 30 times in this one book. So whenever you're reading the gospel or a scripture passage and you see immediately, immediately, we heard it three times in the reading that we just heard in that one little paragraph, you know that that's, you can be pretty sure that that's from Mark's gospel. Simon Peter and his brother Andrew and James and John all heard Jesus' call and immediately left everything and followed him. And this was before they had seen any of the miracles or great acts that Jesus had done, before they had witnessed those miraculous events. That might have given them a little bit of incentive to follow. But they obeyed and followed him, obeyed that call, and followed him on the word alone, on the invitation alone. Follow me. And immediately they left everything. Jesus invited these men, and he is inviting us as well. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Believe in the good news. I think that challenge of repentance, the challenge of changing one's life course, is too difficult. It's simply too scary, too risky. And Jesus tells us that if we take this risk with him, well, we don't know where our life is going to end up. From the very beginning of our story, our history, our faith stories, it's been a journey, a pilgrimage, a story of people taking risks, stepping out into the unknown. Over and over again, our book of faith tells us stories about people who do things that seem way too risky. Noah builds an ark in the middle of the desert. Abraham and Sarah, in their old age, pack up everything they have and head out to God knows where. The prophets, Moses, David, these four fishermen, over and over again, the list is so long, of people who took that risk and followed God's call. That alarm clock rang, and they didn't ignore it. Even though the timing was not great, they heeded the call and followed. Why did they do it? Where did they get the courage to respond to that call? When I listen to this story and I hear the immediacy of their response, I'm pretty sure that I don't have what it takes to follow that invitational call, to do that kind of following. How was it that these fishermen were able to drop everything and follow Jesus? How could they do that? How could they make that great leap of faith We were talking about this at our fireside communion on Thursday. And we came to the conclusion that we all have too many responsibilities to follow Jesus immediately. I mean, who's going to feed the cat? Who's going to pick up the dry cleaning? Maybe after the taxes are done. That would be a better time. But not right now. Not immediately. But it isn't about us, is it? It's Christ's calling, not our answering, that makes us disciples. It's not that those fishermen were filled with so much faith, more faith than you and I. It's not because of who they were, but because of who God is. When we focus on what we do, we miss the point. Barbara Brown Taylor wrote a sermon on this text, and she titled it Miracle on the Beach. Because she says it's a miracle story because to walk up to four guys on the beach who and make them disciples where a moment before there had been no disciples is a demonstration of God's power. God did that. It wasn't the faith, huge faith, of those disciples. It was God's power in them that allowed them to make that response. It's God's power to change us that is at work here, rather than anything that you might decide or that I might decide to do. It's only the initiative and the power of God at work in us, that same power and initiative of God at work in Peter and Andrew and James and John. It's God's power in us that allows us to do anything. It's God's power in Noah and Sarah and Abraham and Moses and David and all that long line of risk takers that went ahead of us. It's not that we don't have the faith that they had. It's God's power. We have the same power within us. Responding to God in Kairos time, in God's time, doesn't mean the same thing for each of us. For some, living in God's time, repentance living, means giving something up. Maybe alcohol or addictions or a toxic relationship or a job that is eating away at your soul. For others, it might mean taking something on, being more prayerful, reading scripture, being of service in your church. It might mean adding something to your life. How are you responding to that alarm clock that's ringing, that says it's God's time? Now is the time. How will you respond? Amen.